The views and opinions expressed by the guests on the following program do not necessarily represent those of Mark Radio, The Shepherd, or its advertisers.
From the studios of The Shepherd Radio Network, it's Afternoons with Mike. This next hour is all about our walk with Jesus, with local pastors, newsmakers, people who are making a difference for the gospel. Now, here is your host, Mike Gilland.
Hey friends, thank you for being with me once again here on the program. It is my delight to get to talk to somebody for the very first time. I've heard about this man's work, as you have for many years. His name is Charlie Ward, and Charlie was a standout player for FSU. And then on into the NBA as well, where he spent several years, about over a decade, I believe, playing for the Knicks in Miami. And Charlie Ward, it is such an honor to have you on the program today. Thank you for being here.
I appreciate you having me on. And I played 11 years in the NBA, and I played for the Knicks, New York Knicks, the San Antonio Spurs, and the Houston Rockets.
Oh, more than I even realized. You know, they talk about that thing about the NBA being a business. And when a player like yourself playing at that level, you really get to understand what that phrase means, don't you?
Yes. I mean, it's a good business. Once you can get your foot in the door and kind of make a name for yourself, and I was blessed to be able to do that. Made some great contacts early on with the coaches. Also developed what I was going to be characterized as, you know, work ethic, a team player, those types of things. I definitely helped my career along with being able to compete at a high level. But, you know, every year after like my first or second year, you know, I was in trade rumors, and that was just part of the deal. I wasn't a superstar player, so, you know, most of the time my contract was something to make up a deal, but I never got traded until, you know, 9.5 years after I was with the Knicks. So, you know, it is a business, and that business is, you know, it's a good one, as I mentioned. And, you know, I was blessed to be able to find my way to stay on one team for quite some time. And I'm grateful that I had that opportunity.
Charlie, where did you grow up? What part of the country were you as a young boy?
I'm originally from Thomasville, Georgia. So I'm South Georgia product. And, you know, I guess that's all that can be said. Thomasville is about 30 minutes north of Tallahassee.
Right. So you got to stay kind of close to home all throughout your college years there at FSU then.
That is correct. And that was one of the reasons why I chose FSU. Was because that would give me an opportunity to stay closer to home. And for those who supported me in high school could come and support me at Florida State, and I got a chance to play for a great coach, Coach Bobby Bowden, as well. And I got an opportunity to play basketball and football, which was something I wanted to do. And, you know, being able to stay closer to home was a good opportunity, because I really never went too far while growing up. You know, I didn't go too far from home for a long time, and so it was the best of both worlds to be able to go to a quality school and stay close to home.
Did your family teach you about the Lord? Is that something that was part of your growing up years to have a heritage that would have been a Christian heritage, Charlie?
Yes, I grew up in a church. We were Baptist, and of course, my parents grew up in the church as well, and so we had a long history of family, relationship, religion, whatever you want to call it, with as a Christian. And I gave my life to the Lord when I was 10 years old at a revival at our church. And that's kind of when the journey started for me.
I love the fact that you use the word journey, because anyone's relationship with the Lord, when they begin, whether they're 10 years old or whether they're an adult, it is still a journey, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And, you know, that's the one thing, you know, that's amazing about God is he'll take wherever you are and continue to use you and mold you and shape you through your life experiences. And, you know, sometimes, you know, it takes people longer. Sometimes people do it at an early age and they may not understand and know all the nuances of being a Christian. But I just think that the more we stay grounded in our relationship, we continue to allow seeds to be planted within us from a scripture base. We get connected with a church. We get connected with accountability groups. I think all those things play a big part in the maturation process, and it's really no different than any other field. You know, whether it's, you know, as an athlete, you still have to stay connected, and you have to have accountability groups. Most times it's either your coaches, it's coaches and teammates. You still have to go out and do the necessary things to be successful, you know, on the floor, on the court, or on the field. And it's no different as a Christian. You know, when we're not in church, we're with our accountability groups, but we're out in the field, you know, doing the necessary things, making choices that God is pleased with. And then when we don't make good choices, you know, humble ourselves so that people can see who's living through us. Because if we're going to proclaim we're Christians, you know, we're not going to be perfect and we're going to make mistakes. We're going to make some bad choices.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, God wants to use those to glorify him as well by sharing our faults with others, because people can see where you've gone or where you've come from to where you are today. And so if you're pumping yourself up that you're the one that made it happen, then of course, as we know, pride comes before destruction.
Yeah. So, and it can be a bad fall at that, can't it?
Yes.
Charlie, you know, at the level where you were playing, even as a young man, obviously your faith had to be something that you carried around in your own heart and in your own life, and it formed and shaped you. When you look back at that, how important would you say was, on a daily basis, the fact that you were a believer in Christ? How did that impact you on the field?
Well, it definitely helped when it came down to trusting that God had a plan, because sometimes I didn't see the plan, and having faith that, you know, things that were happening for a reason. I didn't understand it totally at the time, but now that I look back, I definitely see, you know, God's hand all over my life and career. Because there are a lot of things that didn't seem normal at the time. Like, you know, me in college, my first year I was asked to compete for the punting job. And, you know, I ended up winning the job, and I never understood at that time. I didn't understand why, you know, I was wasting a year to punt when, you know, I was recruited to play quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
And then being the first, and also being the first black quarterback at Florida State, that was, you know, I was going to stick it out. I just had to wait my time. All those thoughts kept going through my mind as well, that, you know, they didn't want me to play quarterback. But it was all part of God's plan, that, you know, my 5 years there, I was able to accomplish a lot after my first year, after my first year of punting, which I was able to accomplish, you know, my goal or the opportunity, took advantage of the opportunity to get on the varsity team, travel. Those things were all great. But I didn't see it at the time, but that year of not playing basketball, which was my plan, my first year, helped me to keep my options open once I graduated in year five. And so I was in school for 5 years, and I played basketball the last four of those 5 years. And that's what gave me the option to be able to leave the NBA as an option. And so
sure.
If I would have played basketball my freshman year, my true freshman year, I would have missed out on having an opportunity to play basketball my senior year because my clock would have run out. And I would have totally been, I would have had to put all my eggs in the NFL basket, which, you know, would have been fine. But I wanted to leave my options open, and God opened the door for the NBA to happen. But it would have never happened if I would have wanted to go on my plan.
You know, your plan was an amazing plan. Whatever the plan that God had for you, when I hear the fact and reminded of the fact that you not only were a standout quarterback for FSU, but you also played basketball there as well. And having interviewed a number of Division I athletes and knowing the schedule, knowing the rigor of what life is when you're a college Division I player, in addition to all the fact that you've got schooling that you've got to get in there, but you were a two-sport player. Describe, if you will, what it was like not only playing for one Division I sport, but two, and excelling at both of them. What kind of day did you have back then?
I mean, I was a true athlete for sure, busy. But, you know, I was, you know, football definitely organized me to where, you know, I had to make sure I had all my academic things, because that was the only way I was able to play basketball, was if I had my academics in order. And so I had to maintain a lot. But like I said, football organized me, basketball organized me, because I knew the schedule that I had to keep, and it allowed me to, you know, input things that weren't related to football or academics in perspective. And I was also a guy that didn't hang out a lot, so that didn't play a big part in, you know, me lacking the focus that I needed to achieve my goals. And I, you know, I just enjoyed being an athlete. You know, I enjoyed playing sports. And the other great part about it was, you know, I had professors that were willing to help me achieve my goals of getting my degree, which I was able to do as well. And so I was the common denominator, but there are a lot of factors and people that play key roles in me achieving my goals, between the coaches, the academic advisors, my professors who helped me whenever I needed some assistance with when I was traveling, for basketball, mainly. Football was pretty similar because we only had, you know, we only missed maybe one day, if that, and that was on Fridays. But, you know, it was just a total team effort. People wanted me to reach my goal of getting my degree, and I had to do my part and making it happen. So it was tough for some parts, but it was always fun because they worked it out where I was able to not really miss anything, because, you know, for the first year I punted, but when I started playing basketball and football, Really, there's 2 years out of the 4 years that kind of overlap.
Mm-hmm.
And so the first 2 years after my freshman year, I went and played basketball the first year full-time. The second year, I played football full-time up until November to late November, early December is when I was going back and forth between football and basketball. And then when I started playing football full-time as a quarterback, I went through football seasons, and I went after the season, after the bowl game, I went to play basketball. And so, you know, I'd already established myself in basketball. And so it was just a matter of going back out and trying to get in shape and help the team, you know, be successful.
Well, you did that, my friend. I tell you, just looking at the awards as we're getting ready to take a quick break here, but just thinking back in those years, especially those last couple of years at FSU, the Florida Sports Hall of Fame Award in 92, NCAA National Champion in 93, Sporting News Player of the Year that same year. My goodness, you won the Sullivan Award in 93, the Davey O'Brien Award that year, the Johnny Unitas Award. You had to buy a couple of shelves just to put all these trophies up on them, it sounds like. And then you get on up into the Heisman Trophy in 1993, and of course being a national champion. Congratulations on a stellar career, one that was formed not only in football, but also in basketball as well. And we'll talk more about his following years after 93 coming up in a moment, talking about Charlie Ward. And that's who we have on the phone right now. Charlie Ward, the football standout at FSU and in the NBA. He's my guest on Afternoons with Mike. We're going to be right back. Back on the line today with Charlie Ward. And Charlie is now the coach, the basketball coach for Florida High in Tallahassee. He spent, as he mentioned in segment one, his growing up years in Georgia, not very far from Tallahassee. So it got to be kind of a home for him, being able to play both basketball and football for FSU. Charlie, you went on to play not in the NFL, but in the NBA. Was that any sense of a different direction than you thought would happen, or did you always think you'd be in the NBA and not the NFL? How did that one come down?
Well, my senior year in college, you know, I left my options open by going and playing my senior year basketball. And so I worked it out. That's what I chose to do. I wasn't going to allow the NFL to dictate to me, you know, a pigeonhole me into choosing
mm-hmm.
when they kind of told me that I was going to be either third or fourth round pick because of my height and arm strength and those types of things. And so I wanted to leave my options open. And, you know, I did that as well. When it really came down to it, I wanted to also play basketball because I was a senior guard. I played for 3 years basketball, and I wanted to finish my basketball career. And so that left the door open for me to have an opportunity to play in the NBA as well. And so I chose that route. God definitely honored my heart when it came to, you know, my intentions, the reason why I chose to play my senior year, because I was a senior guard and wanted to be the leader of the group, as well as, you know, just leaving my options open for my next stage in my career.
Mm-hmm.
And so I went through the process. I missed the combine because I was playing, missed the NFL combine because I was playing, I had a basketball game on that Saturday, and I hadn't been working out properly as well. So I missed the combine, and that was a tough blow to my NFL career because mm-hmm. I didn't prioritize the NFL. So I wasn't 100% committed to that process. But after the basketball season ended, you know, I started to work out for both. But mainly I started to work out for the NBA or basketball, home basketball goes, because I was a little bit behind in that area. And so I chose to spend more time working on my basketball game so that when that opportunity came for combines and different opportunities in basketball, I wanted to be prepared and ready for that to be able to compete at a high level. So I did my pro day on campus. That went okay. I had a few teams ask me to throw after the initial, and they weren't, I mean, I wasn't, like I said, I wasn't 100% committed, and so they weren't going to, I mean, I think they did their homework and those types of things. But, you know, on draft day, I knew that, you know, I wasn't going to be a first-round pick. And once it got to a certain point, I knew I wasn't going to get drafted. And I was okay with that because I'd already kind of God kind of given me a sense that that could potentially happen.
Mm-hmm.
And so I wasn't disappointed. There were some people who may have been disappointed, but I wasn't. I was not disappointed because I kind of knew that that may be a possibility. So after the NFL draft, I told the people that whoever asked me, media, that if I didn't get drafted in the first round of the NFL draft, that I would consider my other options. And so I knew that I had done all the things they wanted me to do to be a first round pick. And so it was a calculated risk in a lot of ways, but I had to trust that, you know, God was going to place me where it needed to be.
Mm-hmm.
And once the NFL draft came and went and I was undrafted, I continued to pursue, you know, the NBA. I put more time in, actually got an opportunity to go on a Nike overseas trip to four countries, mm-hmm. Which was John Calipari. And so that was a great experience. And Todd Bozeman, that was a great experience for myself. Then I, you know, was afforded opportunity to play in the NABC All-Star Game, which, you know, with Big House Gaines was my coach, the late Big House Gaines. And I was afforded the opportunity to win the MVP of the tournament, which, you know, was crazy within itself because I was a football player playing basketball. and then, you know, doing my combine days, doing my combine, two combines I went to, one in Phoenix and one in Chicago. My teams were successful. We didn't have any superstars on the team. Everyone was very similar to myself. And we had a good showing. And those combines. And so, you know, all those things led up to, and also had a coach that was working with me, the late Kenny Williamson, was working with me during that time. And he was my mouthpiece to help me get into a lot of different things because he had connections. And so, you know, when it came down to it, you know, he talked to the Knicks after I went through all the, you know, pre-draft workouts at the different organizations. And I know he talked to a few people and he knew some guys in New York that they asked him about me. And he gave him a good word and that of the things that I've been doing. And they've been watching me as well. So I was grateful. You know, I think if I didn't get drafted by the New York Knicks, Orlando Magic, they were going to draft me potentially, But as you know, that table one team to like you, and I'm grateful that I got an opportunity. And that's all I ask for, is an opportunity to prove myself. And that's what I received.
And though it was disappointing to all Orlando Magic fans, because we all wanted you to be chosen by the Magic, but you were selected and you made it in the first round in the NBA. And that is so in itself such an amazingly difficult thing. And to realize that you've, again, played at the highest level in both of those collegiate sports at one of the country's biggest colleges and sports schools at FSU. And now you're on your way. You play for Pat Riley at New York. And Pat declared of you. And I just wonder, if it wasn't because of your work ethic, would you think that's why he declared you to be the point guard of the future? Would that be because you just a blue-collar hard worker?
I'm not sure. When did he say that? Because if it was after it was during my first year.
Yeah, that's what is written, that he did say that of you. So it surprises me that you hadn't heard that, but that's pretty cool even in itself. But that's really something. So all those years that you're traveling around with New York, What was that transition like for you as being a person who played both? Now you're at the highest level in basketball during a time frame that you were playing against the likes of Michael Jordan. I can't even imagine what that would be like getting ready for a game like that.
Well, getting the opportunity to play in the NBA was definitely a dream come true, just like if I was in the NFL. I had to learn, just like everyone else, when they're coming in, I had to learn the ropes. And I was grateful and blessed to be able to have some great mentors. Derek Harper was a guy that took me under his wing and taught me all the ropes about how to play the game, how to be a professional, how to take care of your body. He's playing, as an older player at that time. And he was still playing at a high level. And so, I was very grateful to be able to have and blessed to be able to have a guy like a Derek Harper that played my position. And so he was definitely a blessing. I had a guy like Herb Williams, who had been in the league as well for quite some time. And he took me under his wings and showed me the ropes about how to be a professional. And, what I needed to do to have longevity. And so, those two guys from a basketball player standpoint were very instrumental. Of course, I looked at everyone else's life, but they were the two that kind of helped me along through that my early years. And then, the guy that really sustained me over the course of my time was Jeff Van Gundy. He was my coach or my skill development coach. He was an assistant in my rookie year. And he taught me about, putting the time in, work ethic. I had work ethic, but he allowed me to learn how to play the game, develop my skills, things that I was weak on because I hadn't played basketball full time. And so over the course of a year and a half, even 2 years, first 2 years, he kind of helped me through that whole process each and every day. We went to work, and Greg Brittenhale, who is a strength and conditioning coach, worked with us to make sure we stayed in shape physically, our bodies, were in shape. And Coach Van Gundy, when he took over, gave me an opportunity to get in the rotation. And so, as I mentioned before, all I need is an opportunity and a chance to prove myself, and he gave me that. And so I was blessed to be able to be a backup the second half of my second year. And from that point on, I was able to make it into the starting rotation, also be a backup. And then later on in my career, I became like the third guy.
Mm-hmm.
And so I ended up getting traded 9.5 years 9.5 years after I was with the Knicks.
When you look back, what would you think to be one of your fondest memories of your years in the NBA?
As an individual, it would be the game that we had against the Miami Heat in the playoffs on Mother's Day.
Mm.
And it was our son's first game, our oldest son's first game at the game, and I had a pretty big fourth quarter. I had like 9 points in the quarter. Ended up with like 20-some-odd points and like five or seven rebounds, somewhere in between there, and a few assists. But that was the best individual game, and just the opportunity to make it to the finals. That run we made in 9-9 to the finals was pretty amazing and a good memory for sure.
Charlie Ward is my guest today, and Charlie spent 11 years playing with the NBA. He was, of course, a standout at FSU and everyone's best love quarterback for that season during that time frame at FSU. And everyone loves this man's work ethic and his stand for the Lord, and now a coach at Florida High in Tallahassee. I'll be back with Charlie Ward for one more segment. Don't go away. This is Afternoons with Mike on the Shepherd. Privileged to have Charlie Ward, a football player extraordinaire turned extraordinarily great point guard in the NBA for many years. And he's on the line with us today. What I love about this is that if you just joined us, you missed the fact that at age 10, Charlie gave his heart to the Lord and has been a believer in the Lord and watched how the Lord has used him and really continues to walk that way. And it's just an honor to have him on the program here with us today. Charlie spent a number of years with the New York Knicks and then was ultimately traded and played for some other teams as well. What do you feel your role in particular has been in sharing the gospel with these people?
I think it's upon all of us to share our faith, our relationship that we have with the Lord. I know one of the things we started to do with the Knicks while I was there was we started a Bible study while we were on the road. One of the things I was struggling with was watching things that were inappropriate on the television at one point. And then a couple of brothers challenged me from the Church of Christ, New York City Church of Christ, about my faith because of the struggles I was going through in that area. And so that was a part, as I mentioned, a part of my journey of me maturing even further. And I reached out to a brother, late Reggie White. We joined a group called CALLS, which was Christian Athletes United for Spiritual Empowerment. And after the initial conferences that we had, I reached out to Reggie to ask him if I want to start a Bible study, what should I do? Because I knew of his faith, and he was outspoken as well. And he just said, get a study guide. Get something that you guys can study and go at it from that point. And so I wanted to make sure that I was, being a good watchman, Ezekiel 33, being a good watchman so that I didn't lead people astray, because I was going to, God would definitely deal with me if I was leading people astray. So I started to dig a little deeper in the scriptures. We went through our study guide, the man God can use by the Blackaby family.
Mm-hmm.
And so we went through that book, and that helped change the course and the direction of my life when it came to me being able to share my faith even more. I grew in relationship with the Lord and also connect with other brothers that came to our team. And so, and then I had to replace watching the inappropriate things with something once I was on the road. So that's what I replaced it with. And it was a great blessing for not just myself, my family, but also those that came in contact with us. And And that helps sustain, you know, all the things that we may have gone through that have sustained us, that we can lean on one another when we're going through difficult times. And, you know, we had brothers that we knew, you know, that they had family as well, and we became connected in that way. And that was just, you know, part of God's plan for our life to be able to establish that. And it kind of trickled down to, you know, us starting a huddle at half court, very similar to what the NFL did for a long time, where they had both teams in the middle. Anyone who wanted to pray after the game could. And so we kind of started that in New York, where, you know, you could start. I mean, you could come if you wanted to, if you were an opposite team. Most guys, some guys did, some didn't. But, you know, we made it, you know, an option for other teams to join us at midcourt to pray, just to show that we can compete. But we're also on the same team when it comes to, you know, our faith. And so, you know, it's just great displays of, you know, where we are, where we were as Christians, and showing people that you can still compete and still have a relationship with the Lord all at the same time. And, you know, it's a great thing because we all unified, you know, when it's all said and done, we all unified by the body of Christ.
Charlie, you know, it sounds like you have really found that role and the importance of something you mentioned in segment one, which was accountability. And accountability, a lot of people feel that that is a double-edged sword. It can be great, or it can be a road to something that's almost like legalism. But accountability in the right way, in a right relationship, one that is marked with trust and really a heart to grow after God, it's really critical. And these men that you've mentioned, Derek Harper, helping you in some of the practice and mentoring, but then spiritually speaking, Reggie White, a guy like him who is so well known as a person who stood strong for the Lord and helping other people. Accountability really was a difference maker in your life then, wasn't it?
Yes. I mean, I think accountability is a difference maker in the success of, you know, a person in general. Mm-hmm. And you think about disciples. They were accountable, you know, to Jesus during his time. But once he left, the Holy Spirit was holding them accountable. And also, you know, brothers had to hold each other accountable, you know, throughout the New Testament so that they could, you know, be successful and understanding what God had in store for them and make sure that their mission was about spreading good news and not trying to spread the news or build themselves up. And so, you know, our motives are very important. And if someone calls us out on certain things, we have to, you know, humble out if they're correct. And so I don't think accountability is a bad thing in any form or fashion. Of course, it helps to have relationships because you know where people are coming from when they are holding you accountable. But if someone is telling you something that they see in your life, because we all have blind spots, you need to hear it and then evaluate it to see if it's true. And then if it's not true, then you can, you know, dismiss it. But if it is true, then you need to, you know, do something about it. And so I think, you know, God sends different people that you know, and some people you don't know, to be able to share with you things that they may see. And so I think that's healthy. Regardless, people, you think people are getting your business and those types of things. Well, I mean, there are people who do that, who are trying to get in your business. But when it's all said and done, if someone is telling you something that you may not know or see in your life, it's your job to run through the scriptures, evaluate it in your own heart, and see if it's true. And if it is, you need to make some changes. And if it's not, you know, you can talk it up as, you know, about someone's soul. Mm-hmm. And so I just think it's important, you know, that we all understand and know that accountability, it comes in different forms and fashions. And we just have to make sure that, you know, God is in the mix of it all, and he's going to judge our hearts when it's all said and done. And, you know, when we look at the scriptures, do our lives and our attitude and our heart, you know, match up to the scriptures?
I love it, Charlie. That is some great advice and some great truth. And we all need those kinds of relationships in our lives. And no one can, you know, the old saying, no one is an island unto themselves. We cannot avoid those things called blind spots. You use that phrase, and I love that phrase because it is true. We all have blind spots, and even if we don't think we have them, they're there, and the reason we don't see them is because they're blind. We're blind to them. We don't see it, and that's where having a friend that loves you and cares about you and is going to be honest with you can help you and challenge you in a good way, and that's exactly what you're describing. And so thank you for sharing all of that. That's so incredibly helpful. Tell us a little bit about what it's like there in Tallahassee now. In this leg of your career, you're a basketball coach for Florida High. Tell us about that.
Yes. God opened the door for me about almost three years ago to get into basketball. I've been coaching football for like almost nine years before, you know, I took the job here. And the crazy part about it was, you know, I've been coaching football for 9 years. And when it was time for me to move on to do something different, he opened up two basketball jobs relatively around the same time that I was preparing to move. And so, you know, as I mentioned, when you look back, God's hand has definitely been a part of my life. And it was two great opportunities that I was afforded to. One that came out of the blue, just a friend of mine that I met like 4 or 5 years ago texted me and asked me about a job at his school, basketball job at his school that was open, a head coaching job. And I hadn't talked to him in quite some time. And so that was very interesting. And then the job here at Florida High, eventually, you know, I was talking to the AD at one point about my daughter coming to Florida High, or trying to get her interested in coming to Florida High. And then he told me about the basketball job. And at the time I wasn't really interested because I was thought I would still be doing something in football. Once I started thinking about it more and doors started closing even more, and then we made the decision to leave, then, you know, I was like, man, why don't I just put my name in a hat since there's a potential opportunity? And so I did. My wife was on board with it, and I was afforded opportunity to become the head boys basketball coach at Florida High. And the other crazy part is for 9 years, I had one winning season in football. Of course, I had some tough jobs, rebuilding programs and those types of things in which we were able to do. We just weren't able to have winning seasons. But our first year here at Florida High, they had won like maybe 8 games and 3 years or something like that. It wasn't a lot of games in a few years. And we were blessed to be able to win 18 games our first year. So we were like 18 and 12. Had a really good run. Almost made it to the Final Four. Had a young team. Kind of overachieved that year, but the guys bought in. And we had to do a lot of culture changing, which, you know, we were blessed to be able to do through, you know, community partners, school partnership, the AD, the head of school, the executive director of the school, principals, everyone joined forces with us and helping us change the culture, the mindset of the kids. And then last year we had another good season. We won 20-7.
Wow.
Which was a productive year for us. And so it was a step in the right direction. And this year, hopefully we can, you know, top that that mark and continue to improve upon what we've established the last 2 years. Most of those guys that we have coming back will have been with us for all of the 3 years, or be this about third year, but all of the 2 years. Most of our players have been with us since that time. Like I said, they were young, like 8th and 9th graders and 10th graders. And so now we have a bunch of seniors and juniors and sophomores that are not bad. And so we're looking forward. They're working hard. Guys are working hard. They bought into what we've been selling. They have great attitudes, great work ethic. Parents, they're very good as far as the support. But the key has been, administration. They've been very supportive of what we've done. And we've worked very hard to build trust and those types of things. And, the success has been, pretty good.
Well, that's wonderful. It sounds like you've put together a string of winning seasons there, only getting better. With all the things that's affected schools, athletic programs, with the COVID situation, what is the word up there in Tallahassee right now about this coming season and any impact that might be because of COVID-19?
Well, of course, we don't know. We can project what may happen. But we're preparing like there's going to be a season. Football, I know, is preparing like there's going to be a season. I know they're going to school, same situation. And so they have a few models out. And I think at the necessary time, they'll roll them out. But right now it's kind of early. We still have a little bit over a month and some days. A month and some days, mm-hmm. or earlier, almost 2 months before school starts. And so, as we know, things really, really fast either way. And we're just praying that, all things go well, we're able to still have our seasons while being safe in the process. And I think, we've been able to, keep our guys focused during this time. We did a team challenge over the COVID break, which went really, really well. Just kept guys focused on making sure that they turned their assignments in for school. Did some workouts while they were, away from us, where we couldn't, coordinate. We ended up coordinating Zoom workouts eventually. Then we had a team Jeopardy night to finish off our team challenge. And now we're in doing some of our off-season summer conditioning, skill development. We're 10 in a group. And the coaches are, getting the opportunity to coach them up. Everyone has to have their own basketball. They have their own water bottles. And we spray, once we get in the weight room, we spray. After we use our equipment, mm-hmm. we spray everything down to disinfect it. And so we're going through the protocols and we're taking temperatures and all the necessary things. We need to try to stay safe. And, of course, kids are kids, and they still don't understand the dynamics of staying apart. So we're working really hard to make that happen. But, we haven't had anyone at this point, test positive or be sick. And if they do have a high fever, we send them home. So until they can heal up.
Well,
but it's been a great challenge, but we've been able to make it work.
Well, I want to thank you for being with me on the program today, Charlie. It's such a joy to get to talk with you, and I know our listeners are going to enjoy hearing all of the things that God has done and continues to do in your life, and we wish you the best there at Florida High in Tallahassee, and our hellos to your wonderful family, and thank you again for being with us today on the program.
My pleasure. Appreciate you having me.
God bless you, and thank you, friends, for being with me here on Afternoons with Mike. We'll catch you next time across the Shepherd Radio Network.